Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host. And I'd like to ask you, how well do you know yourself? Okay. So how well do you know your shadows? Maybe not as much as you'd like to. Or maybe not like to at all. And maybe that's the point. And that's why they're shadows. So let's find out more about this. There's actually a wonderful book that I recently read that really helps us learn about these things. It's called Lucifer's Game. Lucifer helps us find our shadows. And it says, the subtitle is, you're playing it whether you know it or not. So this is an opportunity to learn so much about ourselves and the game we're playing. And to help us is the author of Lucifer's Game. Welcome, Will Schneider, to Energy Stew.
Hi, Peter. Thank you so much for inviting me on your very cool show. I appreciate it.
Well, I'm glad you're here because this is a topic that I'm extremely involved in my life, working with my own shadows and helping my students and clients understand their shadows.
Right.
Many years ago, I became familiar with the work of Debbie Ford.
Yes.
And I know you did too.
Right.
And she enumerated many shadows and helped us understand the game that we're playing.
Right.
And you've written
That's
a
right.
book. That,
in fact, Debbie, that, she was very much a motivating factor for me too. Peter, did you happen to read The Shadow Effect, that book that she and Deepak and Marianne Williamson...
I read her previous book.
Yeah.
And, I'm not remembering the name of it, but it was...
The Dark Side of the Light Chasers, maybe?
That's right. Dark Side of the Light Chasers.
Right.
And we're all chasing light, but we don't realize that that dark side is lurking.
Well, that's right. It's just it's like an ankle around our a weight around our ankles, you know, that just pulls us down and keeps us on as unconscious as possible.
Yes, and we live in an illusion.
Right.
And that illusion is that we're okay. And we are okay, but when you bring that out in your book, that we can be okay, but we have to know the game.
Yeah, you know, that's right. I mean, looking at the shadow world is not easy because, you know, it's unconscious for a reason. There are parts of ourselves that we find wonderful and acceptable and all of that, and there are parts that have been split off as being unacceptable, and so we reject these very parts of ourselves, and there's this kind of trick we try to play, you know, the out of sight, out of mind, you know, by pushing certain parts of ourselves out of our mind, we think they're gone, but they're out of sight, but they're not out of our psyche. We just shove them underground, and therein lies the shadow, and it stays underground until it, you know, different parts of the shadow can just erupt and blow up one's life when we least expect it or want it.
Well, when,
so that,
when
that
we
was
actually...
sort of the motivation for writing Lucifer's Game.
Yeah.
To bring that out, I felt that that was something that really could use discussion.
Right. Well, I think we're always dancing with our shadows. And, for instance, one of the words in Debbie Ford's list of shadows that I really attuned to was the fear of being unimportant.
Yeah.
And then I realized, you know, that's why one reason I have a radio show. But also, I have my school and my clients, and you know, and my family, and I'm, you know, I work on trying to be important because I'm afraid of this shadow of being unimportant. The problem is, and I recently discovered through using Destiny cards, which I absolutely love, the playing card deck, which were born into particular cards, and I discovered that my shadow card has to do with taking power away from me.
Yeah, that's what it does. And so,
all my life, there have been many, 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 many times where I'm undermined by others, by situations, by timing, by all kinds of things that happen to make me feel less important.
Yeah.
And so
that's
it's amazing how this works.
Yes. See, that's the value of doing real inquiry, is that you uncovered that. And then, I mean, it gives you, you've brought that out, you've freed it up, and you're able to talk about, you know, it's so self-empowering, you know, as opposed to being driven by that fear. It's now, you know.
Well, I think the self-empowerment is also being able to self-forgive.
Well, that's a huge part of it, you know. I think the key to doing any kind of inner work, particularly when it comes to shadow work, is how we approach this side of ourselves. And the, in my view, the key is to bring our light to our shadow. In other words, to bring our presence and thereby our open heart and an open heart is filled with forgiveness, and to be able to bring, call those parts of ourselves out of the darkness, you know, call them out of the shadows, hold them in a loving, forgiving kind of embrace, and thereby incorporating these parts of ourselves that have been formerly disowned. And it's not like we're going to allow them to run our life, but then it's now, it's like, okay, there's my hatred. Ooh, yeah, I can feel that. You know, I get it. You know, I see that I have this in me. Yes, I'm a loving person, you know, but I have that too, right? And if I can bring that out, it frees up all the energy it took to push that underground. It gets freed up. And then it can be, there's a new level of balance that is achievable within when my shadow side is acknowledged and balanced out with my light. And if I can stand between the two, there's a new equilibrium that's available.
Right. There's a system I work with called the Human Design System. And then there's an offshoot of that called Gene Keys. There's a man in England, Richard Rudd, who's developed
that. Yeah, I've heard of him.
Oh, good. And
yeah.
And he's developed an understanding based on our birth data using human design that we're born into particular hexagrams of the Chinese I Ching, which have particular themes. And from that, he can derive themes of our shadows and also themes of our strengths. And each of us have a number of them that are clearly shown in this work that we can pinpoint when we use our birth data. And it shows us that our strengths and how our strengths are always pushed by avoiding our shadows.
Yeah.
And how we dance between the two all the time. It's not like once we understand our shadows and know our strengths, then we can just kiss our shadows goodbye. It's more that, you know, they lurk, and they'll continue to lurk and keep us on guard we can be our better self.
That's right. That's right. And that sense of balance that comes with that.
Right. And so to honor that part of ourselves, I have, for instance, among my shadows in the Gene Keys, one of it is a fear of being disjointed. Another is to be unstructured. Another is failure to complete. And so I these are very self-destructive.
Yes.
And,
yeah.
You know,
no, that's...
So they, you know, they dance with my strengths.
Yeah.
And so because I have fear of those things,
mm-hmm.
I do my best to do my best. And
yeah.
And it really, you know, but I can see how we're pushed by our shadows.
Yes. That's
and
right.
I guess, you know, the idea is to use Lucifer's tricks to bring them out. And this is what's wonderful about your book. It's certainly not, you know, dryly comprehensive about shadows. It's,
right.
It's an action book.
Yeah. You know what happened, Peter? Just briefly, about 3 years ago, I got this really strong hit internally to give something back. You know, I've been a metaphysical student for decades, and the nature of a student is you're constantly taking, you know, taking in information, knowledge, experiences, and this really strong message was to give something back. So I stood back and I thought, well, I could draw from a number of different areas. And it just really hit me that I could, if there's one thing I've noticed about the, you know, quote, spiritual path, my own, people I know, many have observed, there's a kind of weakness or, you know, it's like this tendency we have that if we consider ourselves a spiritual person, we tend to lean towards the light. In other words, you know, I'm a loving person, I'm kind, I'm generous, I'm truthful, I have integrity, et cetera, which are wonderful, right? Those are terrific qualities to continue to engender. But what about my unspiritual side? You know, what am I doing with that? And typically what we do is what we're talking about, you know. It's like, here's my rosy self-image, and then here's what is unacceptable, and I push it away. And so you can see it in so many very evolved teachers and gurus, you know, who get halfway up the mountain, so to speak, and then take these disastrous falls from grace. Well, why? And my point is,
Lucifer work.
Yeah, they haven't done their shadow work. We haven't. You know, it falls on each of us. So I thought, well, write a story. I'm not going to write. I'm not one that I kind of recoil from anything that's preachy. You know, so I thought, well, I'll write it as a story, as a novel, a tale, and create a narrative that will pull the reader along, a story that, and my Lucifer character has no religious connotations, as you know. You know, he basically is simply the champion of all of our unconscious stuff. He's the he's the shadow master.
But he's,
and his whole game is to keep us as unconscious as possible and keep those buried shadow traits cooking and ready to erupt in our lives.
Right, and he's a wonderful character in your book. It really made him very entertaining and enjoyable in many ways. He's a trickster and very powerful. You've really brought power out in him to make things happen in the world that trip people up into their shadows.
Yep. Yeah, that's his sport with us, you know.
Right.
And you know, so our job, our role, should we wish to take it on, is to beat Lucifer at his own game, right? By waking up, by snapping out of it, so to speak, and bringing light to our shadow side.
Well, you did that very cleverly. You know, your protagonist is really an interesting guy who gets caught up in his goodness.
Yeah.
And Lucifer makes him a very important subject to discover his shadows, and he does it in very powerful ways. And it's really interesting to see how that we can all identify with this protagonist and say,
yeah.
Okay, you know, I'm not going to play that game. And in the book, he's always trying not to play the game.
Right.
And Lucifer tempts him too much.
Right.
And
yeah.
I think those, you know, that's the point, is that really our shadows come out in life
mm-hmm.
through, and you point that out, through temptation. And what, you know, and each shadow has a different kind of temptation.
Yeah, we're all tempted by different things.
Right. And so Lucifer is a master of figuring out what it is with each person that needs to be tempted
yes.
to draw out the worst in them.
Right, and often we don't know. Like Jackson, my main character, he didn't realize that power was in his shadow until Lucifer gave him the opportunity to experience enormous power. And then he could see it start to creep into his psyche, you know, and start to be
yeah.
intoxicated by it and start to abuse it.
And when you say enormous power, you're talking enormous.
It was shocking to himself, right?
Yeah.
He had this rosy picture of himself as this well-developed, well-rounded, deeply spiritual guy, which was true, but he hadn't done any of his shadow work. And so he was basically just sort of half-baked, as it were.
Right. And when you say power, I mean, he was wielding otherworldly powers
right.
that could manifest things that, you know, were his dreams come true. But then where does that bring you to? What's next?
Right.
And how far do you end up taking it? And the point is, and that this is what you brought out earlier, and you have these three different levels in the book that you talk about, the sheeple, the aspirants, and the realized.
Right.
And the realized are the ones who are only halfway up the mountain.
Right.
I think they're at the top,
yeah.
and everybody puts them at the top, and therefore their egos get disjointed, and
right.
their shadows come out.
Oh, exactly. You know, that's the ultimate test. You know, someone who has really, really evolved and become, you know, evolution on the consciousness level, and certainly in my experience, is not like a light switch that you turn. I mean, it can happen quickly, but I think for most of us, it's, you know, it's a long road of two steps forward, one step back. You know, it's like a muscle that slowly needs to be worked, and people can reach a very high level of realization, and then they can become magnetic. And then they start
yeah.
drawing students to themselves, or, you know, and then
I went through
what,
that,
you know,
I went through that. About 15, 18 years ago, my school was just overwhelming. The students were just pouring in. They couldn't get enough of me.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
know, they flood in. It was just fantastic. And I was looking at that. And unfortunately, in my human design, I have a trait that I never understood until I understood it through human design, which is the trait of innocence. And so I sat there, and they all wanted me to be, like, you know, a leader and a guru and a this
yeah,
and
yeah.
that. And it was like, all I just want to do is teach, you know. and I'm just so happy to be teaching. And thank
yeah.
you for being here. I'm so honored. And then because I didn't create, you know, that kind of image of myself, it might have been one of the reasons after a while that some people drifted on because they were looking for a guru. You know?
Right. No, that's
and
right.
I couldn't do that.
Yeah. Oh,
and,
that's good for you.
Well, then I had to deal with my shadow of not being important enough.
Right. Isn't it interesting? You know, for each of us, it's like a different combination of factors. But that's how it goes. You know, someone is put in that position you were in, and people are looking for someone to project onto, right? You have the answers I'm looking for. And that's where that's the great test of someone who is empowered with other people projecting onto them. You know, I mean, if the nature of evolving as a spiritual being is to thin out our ego shell and become our true nature, which is a field of presence. That's quite a bridge to cross, letting go of who our history tells us we are, and stepping into the unknown, which is a beingness that's in the moment, right?
And draws out whatever's there.
Right.
And yet I do know people who are greatly adulated, greatly admired beyond reality, who really, I watch them, and I continue to watch them, have these shadows that aren't comfortable, and many people see them, and many people don't.
Right. Well, if I'm projecting my power onto someone else and saying, you have the answers, I'll bow to your feet, I don't want to see it.
Right. I want that person to be
the all-powerful one because, I that's why I'm giving them, my power. I'm not seeing clearly, right?
Very often people think that they're being attracted to light, but it's really moths being attracted to the flame.
And what happens to the moth, right?
Right.
Yeah, it's interesting. Hmm.
Yeah. So it's so fascinating in the book, to see Lucifer being able to identify people all along the way and how to tempt them in ways that, easily make them cross the line.
Right. That's it. And what I tried to present in the story, my Lucifer, that's why he wants us in what he calls a waking sleep, the sort of fog of illusion that where we're easily manipulated. It's like when we wake up, in the sense of like the human consciousness can go vertically. We can be more awake, more present, or conversely, we can be more asleep, in the sense that, the chattering mind, we're thinking in the future, in the past, we're anywhere but right here, right now, awake in our bodies, right?
But it's very hard to be that.
Oh, it's the slipperiest thing there is. I've been working at it for 35 years, Peter, and it's still, it's like so elusive, and yet it's like the difference for me between, I lived on the Mendocino Coast, the Pacific Coast, for a number of years, and it's foggy on the coast. It's socked in all the time, and then every once in a while, you can break out of the fog into this beautiful sun, and it's kind of like that, for me, where when I'm in my regular sort of, typical walking sleep, as Lucifer would put it, waking sleep, that's one state. And then when I just wake up, even if it's for 10 seconds, and I'm suddenly present, it's just better. It just depends. What do I want? Which state do I value more? And I've always been, I'm that moth drawn to the light of being.
I think a lot of it has to come from self-love.
Yeah.
The more whole we can hold ourselves, the more trust we can have in the wholeness of, and the synchronicity and serendipity of life.
Yes. I do totally agree with you. I think the heart is the key. We're loving beings, and because our hearts are such tender mediums, the human being is kind of like the walking wounded. We've all been beat up by life, So we cover the heart with all this sort of thick, types of muffling and protection so as not to be hurt in this area again, and be careful of that. And so this radiance of our love and our heart space gets all, you know, just convoluted and shut down. And,
right.
You know, the heart's the key.
Yeah, and the stronger our heart, the more things are okay anyway.
Yeah.
You know,
that brings back, circles back around to forgiveness, right?
Right.
Because it's the heart that can forgive oneself for one's foibles and one's weaknesses and all that stuff. Forgive it. And once we forgive ourselves, it's so much easier to forgive someone else, right?
Yeah. And also our relationships. And that's really in your book that, in the end, you know, it's really about relationships.
That's right.
And the people we love
how,
and love us.
Yeah.
You know, and that's, it's so beautiful because you do weave a lot of things in this book.
Yeah. It was so fun to write, you know, and especially in order to be able to articulate Lucifer and the shadow, I had to crawl into mine, you know, and really get it and feel it in order to hold that ground to be able to create a character who could, you know, be the defender of that space. And then
right.
And then to crawl back into my light side, my main character, and be in that space of my regular, you know, kind of so-called spiritual side.
Yeah.
And back and forth and allow those two parts of my own self to be able to dialogue together was just really, really interesting. You know how they
you
learn by teaching, right?
Yes, you manage the dance very well.
Ah, thank you.
So we're getting near the end of the show.
Oh,
and,
this is fun.
You have,
thank
well,
you.
Well, yeah. I'm so glad. I had fun, too. You have blogs and opportunities for people. Where can they plug in?
Yeah, I would say for the book, you know, I love to support the local bookstores, and I'm in their catalog. So Lucifer's Game is available. It can be ordered that way. And, of course, Amazon, and it has an ebook version. The site, lucifersgame.com, is my author's site, and there's some interesting areas there. You know, Jackson, my main character, writes some thoughtful blogs, and then Lucifer has like a Dear Abby column, you know, tongue-in-cheek humor, right? People write in, Dear Lucifer, I have this problem, and he gives
great.
His shadow-esque advice, you know, on how to deal with
it. That's wonderful, yeah.
So, and then, of course, Facebook, yeah. Lucifer's Game by Will Schneider.
Will, thanks so much for being on Energy Stew. It's great.
Yes, Peter. Thank you so much. I very much appreciate it, and this has been great.
Thank you. And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at PRN.FM. I can be reached at peter@heartriver, heartriver.org, or 212-222-7748. I'd love to hear from you, and thank you so much for listening.